Let us keep our Bibles open to Matthew chapter 7, text that we have just read. Miracles yesterday and today, are they the same? And I want to submit to you that they are not the same. Dear friends, we are living in the last days. And in these last days, Satan will go out to deceive the world, and if possible, even the elect. And we want to be very discerning people. Let us not be gullible. Let us not fall prey to his deception. We must know the truth. And already Jesus warned over here that we ought to also be very sure that we are saved and we belong to him. Because not everyone who calls on the Lord and calls on his name will be saved. And here we have such a group of people on the last day, and they call Jesus Lord. And Jesus said here in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And of course, the will of God is found in the word of God. Know the word of truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must know the truth. "And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Now these wonderful works are miracles. Will the Lord be impressed if we prophesy? If we speak in tongues? If we cast out demons? And do even miracles? Here Jesus tells us that he is not impressed by all these things. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Why is that so? Because they do all these things outside of the will and the word of God. These are counterfeit miracles that they perform. And today we see a whole lot of them, don't we? A lot of the big and mega churches today use such means to attract people in the church. But they preach another gospel, and they perform all these miracles by another spirit. And that's why Jesus said here, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And if you turn to Matthew 24, Matthew 24, verse 24. And over in this chapter, Jesus gave a whole lot of signs for us to watch out for so that we might know the end is near. His coming is imminent. And what is one of the signs Jesus tells us to look out for? In fact, over here, many signs, but one particular sign Jesus mentioned three times. The sign of false Christ and false prophets. And verse 5, we read, "In the last days, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." False Christ, false prophets. Second time in verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." And then the third time in verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders." They can perform miracles, but these are counterfeit miracles. "Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Let us not be deceived. There are those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Satan will not come to you looking very scary or ugly. Satan, if he wants to deceive, will come to us looking very charming and very charismatic. And we must have spiritual eyes, dear friends, to see through. And the only way whereby we can discern and protect ourselves from falling and from being deceived is to really know the word of truth, the word of God. Have you come across such false prophets or fake miracle workers? I have. When I was a young Christian, I was attending this church, and this church had invited a lady preacher from India. She came, and she said how the Lord had saved her from death. She was almost killed. And the Lord delivered her from death and then gave her a vision, appeared to her, and appointed her to be an evangelist, to be a preacher. And not only to preach, but also empowered her with the gift of miracles, that she would be able to heal. And so she shared her testimony, she preached from the scriptures, and then at the end she said, "Now, is there any one of you who is sick or ill or have a disease? You can come to me for healing." Jesus had given her the power. So she invited all those who attended to come for healing. And at that time, I happened not to be feeling very well. I had a very bad throat, inflamed, terribly inflamed. Gave me a whole lot of discomfort. Now this is my chance to get healing. She said she had the power. And a few others also went up for healing. So she asked us to kneel down. So I knelt down. And she went one by one. Came to my turn. She asked me, "What is your problem?" I said, "My throat is very sore. I'm very sick. Inflamed throat." So she said, "Okay." And then she placed one hand on my head and the other hand she put on my throat. And then she invoked the name of Christ, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed." And I was, you know, going to her with great expectancy. I believe Jesus had the power to heal. And of course, this small sickness that I have, surely I will be healed very easily. So after she invoked the name of Christ that I be healed, placing a hand on my head and on my throat, she asked me the question, "How do you feel?" I shook my head. Still the same. No healing. Then she tried again. Now she put her hand on my head again, this time put more pressure. And then the other hand at my throat. Now tighter, her grip. And then now she, in a louder voice, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed." And then she shook me. After that, she didn't ask me any more questions. She went to the next person. Was I healed? I think I got worse. How is that? She said Jesus had given her the power to heal. I had the faith to believe Jesus could heal. There's no healing, and the name of Christ was invoked. Was not the name of Christ used in vain? What's going on? We must not be ignorant, dear friends. We must search the scriptures. And there are those who come in the name of Christ, faking miracles. You know, after the whole session, what did she do? She asked for money. And that's one of the evidences that she was not a genuine servant of God. So, dear friends, we need to understand. We need to know the biblical doctrine of miracles or of the gift of miracles. It's a very, deep subject. The doctrine of the Spirit, the doctrine of miracles. In the Far Eastern Bible College, I would need at least 30 lecture hours just to deal with this topic sufficiently. But I'll just have about half an hour here. So I just want to single out one important lesson or truth in the light of the Scriptures. Dear friends, we must understand the special purpose of the gift of miracles or the gift of signs and wonders that God had given to His servants in time past. And if we understand this special purpose, we will not be looking for people who can perform miracles today. And we should be able to discern truth from false miracles, truth from error. Basically, in the light of the Scriptures, we know that these sign miracles that God had given in the Old Testament and New Testament times were given to authenticate special servants of God who came with the Word of God. For they preached and taught and wrote the infallible, inerrant words of God. And because they had such a special revelatory or word ministry, God had to empower them with all these gifts, the gifts of miracles, to authenticate their position, their office as God's special messengers, and the infallibility of the message or the words that God had given to them to preach and to write. And these special servants were none other than the apostles and the prophets. For instance, look at even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the prophet of prophets. And when He came to earth, into this world, He was empowered with the ability to perform many, many miracles by His own power and authority, which revealed His Messiahship, which proved that He was truly the Son of God. Look at John 14. Let's turn to John 14. In John 14, verse 6, we read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the only Savior of the world. No one can have his sins forgiven. No one can know the truth. No one can get to heaven. No one can have eternal life except through him. Verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And then Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? And Jesus had lived with them, talked with them, and they had heard all his gracious words, words of power and authority. They had seen his wonderful works of miracles. And by this time, the disciples should have known, Philip should have known, this is truly the Son of God by his words and by his works. And yet he said, show us the Father. And Jesus had to reply, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. And Jesus did not teach like the scribes nor the Pharisees. He taught the people based upon his own authority, thus saith the Lord. And that's why they marvel at his doctrine. And not only his doctrine, his words, but the very fact that he performed many miracles authenticated those words that he preached, that they were truly the words of God. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Miracles that he had performed, the good deeds that he had done, all this proved that he was truly the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then in Acts chapter 2, 22, in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, here the Apostle Peter, in preaching the gospel, in trying to convince the Jews that Jesus was truly the Messiah that was prophesied to come in the Old Testament, and he had already come. They were the ones who crucified him. And to prove that Jesus was truly the Messiah, what did Peter say over here in Acts 2:22? Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. And thousands have seen his miracles. Many have experienced his miracles. There was no doubt that he performed all these genuine miracles. People were healed completely, perfectly, instantaneously. You know, unlike the many miracles today. And they knew this, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. So Jesus was approved, authenticated by all these miracles and wonders and signs that he performed, that there would be no shadow of doubt he came from God. He was truly the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. His words were true. His words were infallible and inerrant. His words were absolutely authoritative. You believe on me, the way, the truth, and the life, you will live. You reject my words, and my words are seen and authenticated, approved by my works, my miracles, and you deny all these evidences. And you rebel against the word and the will of God, you die. You die. So all these were meant to authenticate the messianic ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. Very clearly, the miracles were given for that special purpose, you see. And then also the apostles. The apostles were also equipped with such an ability, the gift of miracles, of healing, casting out demons, and so on and so forth. And all these were meant to authenticate their ministry as special servants of God, apostles of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. Now, in the context of the epistle to the Corinthians, the second epistle to the Corinthians, here Paul was defending his apostleship. Many, many problems in the Corinthian church, and the reason for the problems that they had encountered in the Corinthian church, the moral, ethical problems, and then the doctrinal problems, all these problems were due to the fact that false apostles had entered into the church, and they had become leaders in the Corinthian church, and they had been attempting to discredit the ministry of the founding pastor of the Corinthian church, namely the Apostle Paul. He's not a true apostle of Jesus Christ. Don't listen to what Paul has taught you. Don't listen to the messages of Paul. Disregard him. We are the true apostles. But they come in with, of course, false doctrines. And Paul was trying to win them back, and he was trying to defend his apostleship. And what was one of the evidences Paul used to persuade, to convince the Corinthian believers that he was truly an apostle of Jesus Christ? It was this. In verse 12, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12, Paul said this, truly, truly the signs of an apostle, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the special servant of God, the signs, and these are the sign miracles that point to something, you see. Signs are meant to point to something, and they are here meant to point to the authority of the apostles, the authenticity of their ministry as special servants of God. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. You have seen them in me, in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. How is it you still doubt that I am a true servant of the Lord, an apostle of Jesus Christ? My gospel, the gospel that I preached to you was true. The doctrines that I taught you were all true. Why do you now reject me and listen to these false teachers? And with all the false teachings you had learned from these men, look at all the problems now in the church. Return to me. Return to the truth. And you know that I am a true apostle of Jesus Christ because of all the signs that I've performed in the midst of you, with all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And they could not deny this truth. Indeed, they had experienced all these things. And the words, the signs of an apostle, can also be rendered in this way. The signs belonging to an apostle. The signs possessed by an apostle. These were all special signs. The gift of miracles were intrinsically connected to the apostolic ministry. It's not for any and every Christian to possess, but for these special servants who were given the infallible, inerrant words of God to preach, to teach, and to write, so that the people would be convinced, would know that they are truly servants of God, speaking the very words of God, to authenticate their ministry. Jesus gave such a power to the apostles when he commissioned them to go into all the world. Turn to Mark 16. Last chapter of Mark. Mark 16 and verse 20. And here Jesus was speaking to the 11, minus Judas Iscariot, of course, who had betrayed him. Now there were 11, but the apostolic band must be 12. There's a fixed number, 12, and only 12. Now there are 11. One will be appointed later on. I believe the Apostle Paul was the number 12, right, to replace Judas. There were only 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. No more, no less. It was a fixed number, and they had a special ministry of the word. And then Jesus sent them forth. And verse 20, it tells us that they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, and take note of this, and confirming the word. How would the people know that they were speaking the very words of God? Well, the Lord empowered them with the ability to perform miracles, all these sign miracles, and confirming the word with signs, miracles, all right? Signs and wonders following. And we find that in the book of Acts, not any and every Christian perform all these sign miracles, but only the apostles. Proof. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Now, this was fulfilled. Jesus kept his promise, and this was what happened, that the people must know these were the special leaders of the church. They must come under their teaching and ministry and authority. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, we find this to be the case. Acts 2. And verse 43. At this point in time, 3,000 souls were wonderfully and gloriously saved by the preaching of the Apostle Peter. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And look at verse 43. and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by whom? By the Christians? By church members? By everyone who believed? No, here we are told, as Jesus has said, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. These are signs belonging to the apostles of Jesus Christ, possessed by them to authenticate their special ministry of the word and in the church. And then look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And here we have another instance. And by the hands of the apostles, not just Christians at large, but this very, very special group of servants, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. So take note of this. The special purpose of signs and wonders were meant to authenticate the ministry of special servants of God who preach, who taught, who wrote his inspired, infallible, inerrant words to give us also the scripture. And at that time, the scriptures were in the process of being written, not completed yet. And that's why the Lord had to use such men and empower such men and show that they had an approved ministry by him with all these signs and wonders that came from God himself, from heaven, you see. And then how about the Old Testament? Similarly, even the Old Testament prophets who were committed the task of preaching, teaching, and writing the scriptures were similarly empowered. That the children of Israel might know they were truly sent from God. Proof, right? Let's look at Moses. Turn to Exodus chapter 4. This was the time when Moses was called to be Israel's deliverer. God had especially appointed him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And here, Moses was very reluctant. And he told the Lord, if you send me to the people, they would not believe me. How would they know that you have called me and you have sent me and I come as your representative? They will not listen. Moses had all kinds of excuses. And what did the Lord do? Well, look at Exodus 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. A miracle, right? This is a miracle, a sign miracle. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand again. Right? So this sign gift of being able to perform such a miracle with his rod, that people might know that he was the appointed deliverer and leader of Israel. And this was given, this sign gift was given for what purpose? Is stated here in verse 5. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. All right, this is your proof. Perform this miracle in their midst, and then they will believe. Right? So the miracle was meant to authenticate his office as Israel's leader and deliverer, and the words that he will speak. And the Lord said further, verse 6, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand unto thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again. and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. It shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, a sign miracle, and they will believe that they will believe the voice of the latter sign, the second miracle. Knowing that people can be very skeptical, one miracle is not enough, God empowered Moses with a second miracle to convince them. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So three sign miracles given to Moses to authenticate his ministry. He's a special servant and messenger of God, and whatever he speaks are the very words of God. You must listen to me. And to prove it, God gave me these three miracles that I perform so that you might believe. Right? So there was a very, very special purpose to authenticate the special servants of God, the apostles and the prophets. And Moses was used by God to write the scriptures, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, were written by Moses, by divine inspiration, of course. He was a very special servant of God, right? Empowered this with these miracles. Then consider also Elijah. Turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Verse 23 and 24. Elijah was also empowered with the ability, with the gift of performing miracles. And in 1 Kings 17, we find him performing the miracle of raising the dead. And here Elijah was nourished by the widow of Zarephath. And it came upon in time when this widow, her son, had died. And she was grieving very greatly. And then Elijah felt for her. And so what happened? Now, Elijah raised up the child by a miraculous hand. He was empowered with this sign miracle, this gift. And after he had performed this miracle and raising the child from the dead, and now he's alive, and he presented the child to his mother, look at what the woman said. Look at verse 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, after seeing the miracle performed by Elijah, look at what she said. "Now by this I know, by this sign miracle, I know that thou art a man of God, a prophet of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." The sign miracle of Elijah authenticated his ministry and his office as God's special prophet. That was the purpose of these sign miracles. The question, of course, is, do we still need such sign miracles or not? With the completion and the perfection of the scriptures, we now have the 66 books of the Bible, all of the canonical scriptures. Revelation has ceased. The Bible is complete. All that God wants us to know is already in this book that he had inspired and preserved. And the prophets are no more. And the apostles had all passed away. And with the passing away of the prophets and the apostles, all these sign miracles must pass away with them. because that special ministry is no longer needed or required. It was a word ministry that they had, and the word ministry has already been fulfilled, for today we have already the word of God in all its fullness, in all its perfection. No need for any more prophets like Moses or Elijah. No need for apostles Peter or James or John to come to give us such revelation, visions, and dreams. The word of God from heaven, because all that God wants us to know is already here in this book. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we find a verse that tells us that all these sign miracles will cease. They are not going to be a permanent feature in the church. What is going to be permanent, what God wants the people, the Christians, to take note of, always are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. These things will continue. And even till today, we need faith, hope, and charity. But the sign miracles like prophecy, tongues, and knowledge through visions and dreams, all these will pass away when the perfect comes. And what is this perfect here? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 tells us, charity never faileth. It will continue. We need it even today. It will last forever. But whether there be prophecies, all right, all these are assigned miracles, prophecies being one of them. Prophecies, they shall fail. They shall be destroyed. They shall come to an end one day. They are only temporary gifts. Whether there be tongues, the supernatural ability to speak in a foreign language you have not learned or heard before, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Visions and dreams, they will all vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, what will cause all these sign miracles to cease? Paul here says, when that which is perfect is come. And the word perfect here is used 18 times in the New Testament with reference to the Word of God. Right? And so when the perfect Word of God is come, you will no longer need any more prophecies. You will no longer need any more revelation through tongue speaking. You will not need any more revelation through visions and dreams, because the Bible is perfected, completed. God will put a full stop to His Scripture, and you must not add to the Scriptures nor subtract from the Scriptures. Revelation chapter 22, you see. And after the last book was penned, book of Revelation was penned by the Apostle John, who was the last apostle to die, all these sign gifts pass away with them. No more. And church history attests to this. In the age of the church fathers were those who came after the apostles. They were pastors and leaders of the church after the apostles passed away. And through their testimony, they tell us that all these sign miracles, all these sign gifts passed away with the apostles. I quote from one, namely Church Father Chrysostom. And Chrysostom at that time testified, and he said this: argue not, because miracles do not happen now, that they did not happen then. In those times, that is in the days of the apostles, in those times they were profitable, and now they are not. Church fathers understood they are no longer profitable because now we have the complete, perfect, final Word of God, right, in all its fullness. So no need for all these prophecies and tongues and visions and dreams and all these work miracles as well, which accompany all these word miracles, like, you know, demon casting and healing and so on and so forth. And then he went on to say, of miraculous powers, not even a vestige is left. So church history also confirms the cessation, the early cessation of all these sign miracles upon the passing away of the apostles of Jesus Christ and upon the completion and perfection of God's revelatory word, namely the Holy Scriptures. Right? And that's why even in the days of the Reformation, such a great revival next to Pentecost, Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, all these great reformers, they never performed miracles, but their ministry was a powerful ministry based on the word, powerful preaching and teaching of God's word. No more miracles of this sort. They have passed away, you see. There's no need to authenticate the ministry of the church fathers through all these sign miracles. No need to authenticate the ministry of the reformers in the days of the Reformation with sign miracles, because the Word of God is our sole and supreme authority for faith and practice. And truth is ascertained by this perfect standard, perfect book that we have today, you see. And you discern whether a prophet is true or false, not based upon miracles, but based upon this miraculous book that we have in our hands today, that God had divinely inspired and also infallibly preserved for us today without any mistake. So, dear friends, take note of this. And we pray that we'll be kept in the faith in the narrow way. Let us not walk in the broad way. Many things to consider concerning this subject of miracles and the whole charismatic phenomenon that's out there, which is causing a whole lot of confusion. But ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall help you to see and shall make you free. And if you want to study further into this topic, I've written a book, not a thick one, a slight one, a thin one, Charismatism Q&A, Questions and Answers, has gone through 2 printings, but has been out of print. But you can download this book freely from our website, the college website at febc.edu.sg. You can download freely, and I pray you may study into this. And not only for your own self-preservation and protection, keep yourself in the faith, but also to help others with the knowledge from God's word, that they might know and understand the truth and be saved out of error and deception, especially in these last days. These sign miracles have ceased. And we are not saying, before I conclude, I must say, we are not saying that God cannot perform miracles today. Our God is an all-powerful God, and He can perform miracles even today. But He performs miracles directly from heaven in answer to prayer according to His will, right? He can intervene in a miraculous way today, but no longer through intermediary agents like prophets and apostles. These have all passed away. But now directly, He can perform miracles in answer to prayer, even healing us miraculously from incurable diseases or sicknesses. He can do it by special providence, by extraordinary providence. He can intervene in a powerful way today. We do not deny this. But there is a distinction between the sign miracles that He had given to the apostles and prophets and the miracles that He Himself can perform today directly according to His will, in accordance to His word, and in answer to prayer, right? We do not doubt His power. I hope we understand this. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, how we thank Thee for Thy truth, which is very clear, and by Thy Spirit we can understand. You are God who is consistent. You are God who does not contradict Yourself, and Your words are true. So help us, Lord, to understand Thy word, feed upon Thy word, that Your word should sanctify our hearts and minds, especially in these last days, that we might continue to walk in the truth and not in error, that we will keep ourselves from being tempted and deceived by the evil one.
Cleanse us, Lord, from all our sins, and grant us a heart of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.